When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another edition of Zone Time, everybody. I'm Julian. Avery is here. Tic-Tac-Tomar is also here. Sam, also here. Good to see all of you. Got a lot I want to talk about. Sam, this is going to be another one of those tough episodes where we talk about how tough things are at the Vancouver Canucks. I'm sorry
it's
to tell
tough.
You.
All I get to tell you is how right I was for the last few years.
That's true.
Okay, so maybe it's not going to be nearly as tough. I do want to get some housekeeping out the way. I was on Avery's podcast, the Third Intermission podcast, the other day. Really appreciate being on that show with you, buddy. Really appreciate the fact that you were asking me if about Brad Treliving's offseason. Can you tell me can you tell everyone specifically how good his offseason was in your estimation? I want everyone else to hear what you said.
Well, there's a running joke on the Third Intermission that he is considered the finesser of the year for what he did. And we, as a podcast, said that he should get a gold do-rag for a GM of the year.
I can't wait until I run into Brad Treliving at a press box, and then I have to explain to him what a gold do-rag is.
Someone needs to film that.
Like, what if I tell Brad Treliving, like, hey, man, if you ever want waves.
Oh, my God.
Maybe your dad Jim would want once. You should create a super cool line of do-rags and show up on Dragon's Den and see what his father Jim would say.
Oh, my God. That's such a funny visual.
Imagine Brad Treliving walking to the Salad Dome. The short brush, brushing his hair.
Brad would brush.
Oh my God.
I mean, oh I'm all for representation. God. I mean, we have only one black GM in the NHL, and he can't really do the 100 strokes a day. Mashed up my microphone. That's how crazy shit is today.
Oh my God.
There was another thing I wanted to get to in this early part that I completely forgot because we were laughing so hard. So in the meantime, I'm just going to wish a very early birthday to Sloan, Sam's daughter, a.k.a. Baby Zone Time, who will turn 1 year old on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Milestone. I think this is 1 year from the day I texted Karen and was like, I can't record today. I'm in the hospital.
it comes off like so mundane, like, because usually it's like, hey, like, you know, something came up, like, you know, we're busy, whatever. It's like, I'm in labor, I can't go on. It's like, yeah, yes, of course. Like, imagine we're like, how could you?
Yeah, could you imagine?
Just recorded from the hospital.
You're
it took like 36 hours, so.
I've been nuts.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Can you imagine just like talking about the Canucks just from your bed? Like, I mean, I don't know how that would have gone if like contractions started going on at that point. That would have been insane.
That would have been, no way. Been
so fired yet? Word.
He had to.
It was like right around. Yeah, it was right around this time.
Yeah.
I look. That's such a weird visual of that. Anyway, Happy early birthday to Sloane from her respective West Indian uncles at Yahoo Sports Canada / Zone Time. Speaking of West Indian uncles, what I wanted to get to as well.
Right. Shout out Avery.
Being a nice scrum lurker in that Connor McDavid presser.
Got caught like in 4K.
Looking like a proud West Indian smiling at Connor McDavid.
Yo, shout out.
Can you explain yourself?
First of all, shout out to @OrlyGifts on Twitter. She captured that picture of me in the scrum after the Oilers beat down the Florida Panthers. And, you know, Connor was telling a joke about the Oilers being on power play for quite a bit. And I laughed and I realized when I started laughing, I realized, oh, this is going to get captured on Twitter, Oilers Plus, Instagram. But it also showed once again that, yes, I am, among all the reporters, I am the shortest reporter in that contingent. I'm the smallest reporter out of everybody in that press box. I'm only 5'8".
that picture screamed like, yeah, boy. It's like, I was just like looking up, but I saw the picture and I lost it.
When you go on, when you inevitably have your bachelor-esque show for the love of Avery, are you going to start off being like, I'm the shortest reporter in the Oilers press box? Don't disqualify yourself.
I will not lie about my height. Dudes, let me take it right here now. Dudes,
wait, do you consider yourself a short kid?
You lie about height? Yeah, hell yeah. Embrace being short. Don't go on no Hinge or Twitter and Bumble and tell a gal that you 6'1" when you 5'7". Embrace it.
Okay, fine.
So
all
for
right.
Those, for those who didn't catch that, the West Indian came out in Avery there. When he emphasized the Hinge, that elongated note, that's the Caribbean flavor right there, my friend.
I'm just saying, don't be going on no Tinder telling people you're 6 feet when you're 5'8".
I'm surprised I heard the letter H when you said Hinge. That's not supposed to be a thing with us. Okay, we've done enough mischief to start off the gossip point of the beginning of Zone Time. I like the fact we do the little light stuff before we get to things like, you know, Brock Besser in Vancouver and whatever mess is going on there. Just feels like almost every few weeks, just when we think the Vancouver Canucks, everything is good there, something comes up. The latest thing in Vancouver. Oh, was that Baby Sloane? Shout out Baby Sloane. Even Baby Sloane can't believe what's happening in Vancouver. Yep. Wailing.
Baby Sloane had the same reaction that I did when I was watching the intermission. As soon as it was revealed, I literally high pitched screamed and said, "Sam, no!" immediately, like I lost it. Cause it's like one after another, and just like that whole like mess. Like he was gonna play, and then he was a healthy scratch, and then he wasn't a healthy scratch. Like such, I'm glad he scored. Like that was awesome. It was cool that he got the goal. Too. But man, like what a weird situation,
right?
Just to fill it, Sam, please fill in any blanks if I'm missing anything. Saturday, I want to say that game, Vancouver and Arizona. Also supposed to be Hockey Fights Cancer game. That game, unfortunately for Brock Besser, he lost his father to cancer. That is a game apparently that meant a lot for him to play. Early on in the day, he was announced as a healthy scratch. Then Dakota Joshua announced that he was not going to be able to go. Then at the very last second, Brock Besser gets inserted into the lineup. Bruce Boudreau was saying he basically played mad all game. As Omar alluded to, yes, he did score. And in the intermission, as Elliot Friedman and the boys do, on Hockey Night in Canada, it is announced that I almost said Bruce Boudreau, Brock Besser and his people are allowed to seek a trade. What a mess. What a mess. What a mess.
That's pretty par for the course for the Canucks.
Yeah.
This organization is not capable of doing a single thing without making it a mess.
Can I also say something too? Considering the fact that, you know, they did what they did with JT Miller, and Bo Horvat still, you know, we're still trying to figure out what's going to happen with him. Why do I not feel confident that, one, they're going to trade Brock Besser? Two, if they trade Brock Besser, they're not going to get a fair return for him. Why do I have this weird feeling that whatever happens next with Brock Besser, I am going to assume the worst?
Because you're right.
Yeah.
The environment or the tone around this is not in the Canucks' favor. They don't have the leverage at all. because then, you know, we know things to a certain extent, but you know, the team's a mess, the organization's a mess, they don't know where they're going. And Brock Besser's long-term future with the Canucks has never been like in like stone cold like writing or anything anyway. He's on a deal that isn't horrible if he can, you know, if he can get his production up. Like, it's not horrible, like another 2 years at like 6.75 or something like that.
6.65.
Right. So that's not horrible. And again, if you're a team and you say, okay, yeah, sure, well, like, we'll trade for Brock Besser, but like, I don't know what your asking price is going to be, but we're definitely not going to like pay you like top dollar. Absolutely not. Like it's weird. It's almost as if like trading Brock Besser is like other teams doing the Canucks a favor, which is odd because usually you should try to capitalize on a deal like that, especially a team like the Canucks who should be tanking and should be falling out. So it's weird. They can make this deal, but like, it seems as if they're probably going to lose it.
I mean, yeah, look at if you take a scroll through Canucks Twitter, you had people being like, the Canucks should be happy to get a second only for Brock Besser.
I saw that. Yeah.
Canucks fans saying you should be happy to get a second for Brock Besser because they need the cap space. And this is like a market where people were like, I would turn down Bowen Byram and Alex Newhook for JT Miller, but somehow a second for Brock Besser is acceptable. Like, what? I literally don't understand what is happening here. I don't know how the Canucks have managed to turn what was supposed to be one of their best core players into somebody who apparently can't fetch more than a second.
Yeah.
Every single aspect of this has been mismanaged. Like, it continues, it shouldn't surprise me anymore, but it continues to surprise me how badly they managed to mess up every single situation. Like, this isn't just about the trade value and, you know, the notion that he can talk to other teams and seek a trade. It's also that, you know, Boudreaux came out afterwards and was like, had no idea it was Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Like,
yes.
What is your internal PR and communications team doing? Like, that is literally your job. Make sure the coach knows these things. Like, I don't know what's happening here. Why does every single thing that should be a nothing story end up being a huge mess every single time?
Oh, go ahead, Avery. Go ahead.
I was going to say, on every aspect in terms of the on-ice elements, the PR elements, the Canucks have no idea what the hell they're doing. Like, they don't know where they want to go, what to be. We know the bad PR has come from the preseason stuff. We know what's happened on the ice. Like, I people talk about, you know, being a playoff team or being a rebuilding team. The Canucks aren't anything right now. We don't know if they want to rebuild and make the playoffs. Like, we have no idea what they want to be the rest of the year. We have no clue.
Yeah, they might still fall ass backwards into the playoffs. They're not that far off from a wild card spot. I'm not saying they're going to make it. Like, just where they're at right now, considering what things are, they could still fall ass backwards. And it wouldn't be like, man, the Canucks really earned it. It's like, no, they fell ass backwards into a wild card spot because they decided to play well when everyone told them to tank for Connor Bedard. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Omar, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, like I know I don't watch Canucks games all the time, but like, if you're a Canucks fan and you think Brock Besser is a cap dump, then like, give your head a shake, man. This is a player who I don't think we have seen his full potential. Can put up 25 goals. I think it's probably would have done that this year. And now if you take that in combination with a player with something to prove, like, come on, man. Like, that I it's so disappointing that they're at this point, because like, yeah, like when the Canucks were starting to, like, you know, put some pieces together, like, you thought Besser was probably going to be one of those like long-term pieces. And now it seems like he's going to be one of the first to be out, which, again, makes no sense because, again, if they did things properly, he's a cornerstone player. At least he's one of the foundational pieces that you use to build around it. And now, no, we're going to keep, like, freaking Tyler Myers or whatever. Like, that should be the cap dump. I'm like, come on. How much does he make?
$6 million.
Lord have him. Come on, man. Like, oh, my gosh. Jeez.
Hey, Sam, you would know better than me. How good defensively is Brock Besser?
Ooh, is he better?
That doesn't sound like a Daryl Sutter type player to me. Just asking for a particular market I happen to be.
Oh, because they need
Yeah, you see. Yeah, you see.
Okay,
Avery.
Okay.
Avery,
do you think the Flames should have a solution other than just signing former Canucks?
You'd think, but you think Chris Tanev and Jacob Markstrom are already here.
You would think so. Yeah, yeah. Avery, also, shout out to Markstrom for being completely honest the other day.
We will get to we will get to Jacob Markstrom. Avery, if Brad Treliving finds a way to swing Brock Besser to the Calgary Flames, do we upgrade the do-rag to platinum?
You might have to. Some fans might say give him a platinum one. Some fans might be in favor of that in Calgary. It all depends which fans you ask, but some might scream for a platinum one.
I wonder if someone's cool enough to do like a Photoshop of Brad Treliving where they put like waves on his head they smoke, like he has like a
heart. To see this.
Oh my god, oh, that's so funny. I mean, I don't know, but like,
A Calgary Flames trade for Brock Besser would not be as simple as like, here's a second round pick. No. Like they do not have a lot of salary cap space themselves. They'd have to move a body. I mean, I'm sure if you're in Vancouver's place and you realize, oh, this team might have to work a little bit to make it work. You try to see if you get a prospect out of it too. Like, you know, if I don't know what other teams are looking to get for Brock Besser, but it might not be worth it. They should probably put their efforts towards Timo Meier instead. But that's for another episode about what the Calgary Flames should do. But Brock Besser could be on the move. If I know Omar was asking what wing he plays on.
Yeah, I thought it was left. I was like, Kyle?
You think Kyle Dubas would have went for him if he was a left winger?
Kyle Dubas would have went for him if he played for the Sioux Greyhounds, but he doesn't. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Nikash on Twitter said that if Brock Besser was a former Sioux Greyhound, he would have been a Leaf tomorrow.
I mean,
could do worse.
Wait a minute, Avery. Evander Kane's not going to be playing for a while. Why don't the Oilers get him?
Man, no. Ken's not that clever. Come on.
Also, too, if you know Ken Holland,
Holland. You don't think Kendrick Holland could swing a deal?
No, also, Ken Brock Juan Besser Holland isn't gonna. Isn't
Brock
gonna
Besser wasn't.
No, you have to call him Kenwin. You have to make a real trade. Kenwin. You don't think Kenwin Holland could do it?
No.
Brock Besser wasn't ex Leaf. Also, too.
That's true. Ken
Holland loves himself some ex Maple Leafs, as we can tell over the past year.
That is very true.
I don't know. He may not be loving all of them. Oh, anyway.
We'll continue to monitor the Brock Besser sweepstakes as they arise. I totally see a situation where we're waiting until the deadline and that passes. Like I'm resigned to that. That's what I think is going to happen. Anyway. Let's move on to something else I want to check in on. Some teams that are currently outside of playoff positions as of this recording. Entirely possible that maybe they win their next few games and maybe they're tied for wildcard spots, but it's looking real weird for some teams. And this is also an excuse for us to discuss the Calgary Flames and Jacob Markstrom letting everybody know that he sucks at hockey right now. Being in that locker room and hearing him say that, man, down bad. Down back. I still don't know what the hell he was doing in that game against Montreal, where literally dude decided to slide out how many feet by the hash marks to try to get that puck. That's the easiest goal Yaroslav Slavkovsky's probably scored all year.
I mean, listen, we talked about it last year. Like, if Markstrom is on his game, the Flames win that series. Sorry, Avery. Like that
they do.
Like the dude could not stop anything, and it's continued. So, like, it's interesting that he's saying, like, it's kind of making it seem like right now, like, you know, he sucks at hockey. But it's like, man, it's been a while, man. And, yeah, the Flames are not helping him in front of him. Like, that I'll say, like, to a degree. Like, watching the Flames sometimes, like, I'm shocked that Daryl Sutter is the coach. I'm like, this is what you're doing? This is what you're doing on a Daryl Sutter team? Like, wow. And then, but again, like, Markstrom's, he's not giving them an opportunity either. So, it's like, it's a mixed bag of chaos, and right now it's like it's costing them. Like, they're still not in the playoff spot, right? Like, oh my gosh, like,
yeah, they're outside. You know what's funny, actually, like being on the ground here, there are people who are not only going to his defense and are saying like, hey, what about the offense that can't score consistently? And they sort of have a point.
Not wrong.
They're not completely wrong about that. The Calgary Flames right now, they're not consistent enough. There are people asking for Daryl Sutter's job, like a very silent minority. But like, I was told when I came here that like everybody loves Daryl Sutter. In Daryl, we trust. Now, like we're seeing like a little crack in the foundation. Maybe it's like one of those cracks where it's like, maybe you could just fill it with like sand or something later, or maybe you don't have to worry about it right now. But we're starting to see that pressure just a little bit. Again, very small minority of people, not everybody, but there are people wondering about the Calgary Flames and how they're doing things. And I mean, hey, I guess I can understand from their vantage point, Daryl Sutter's gonna have a contract after this Oh, no, he's not. He has an extension that starts next year.
I mean,
yeah, he does.
Yeah, so like,
I'm not saying he shouldn't have it. I'm just for people who don't want him in Calgary anymore, just know he has an extension that starts next year.
Yeah, they got to figure that out, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just like play more purposeful hockey. Having an impact again. You know, I was really looking forward to like what Nazem Kadri and Andrew Mangiapane could have done this season. I think they've been a little underwhelming. I think Jonathan Huberdeau has been a little underwhelming. And, you know, you kind of like think, okay, well, like Elias Lindholm, you know, last year he had like, what, 40 goals or something. And this year he doesn't seem too dangerous.
Yeah, but you know, but also two thirds of his line are in different cities now.
That's what I was about to say. I'm like, and who was he playing with last year and who was not on the team anymore? So it's like, okay, did we get rid of the straws that were stirring the drink there? And did the Flames kind of like miss on replacing those? So maybe we have to downgrade the Platinum Durag to a bronze for now.
Oh,
I love that analogy.
That's damn.
Because man, like I was, believe me, as soon as the trade happened, I was like, they got fleeced, they got murdered. Like how, like you give up Tkachuk and you get Huberto and Mackenzie Weegar, like they got murdered on the deal. And now I'm watching them play, and it's like, damn, okay, well, that sucks. Now my joke doesn't work anymore. So it's like, selfishly, I want them to do better so my joke can be funny. But also, like, they can't afford to be bad, especially after what happened last season.
Nope, you know what's they weird? Cannot afford that.
You know what's weird, too, is that we see how the Flames' fourth line, like, the bottom six of the Flames is not exactly the best. And we see the struggles of guys like Trevor Lewis and Milan Lucic playing lower minutes. But it's like, at what point does Matthew Phillips come up? I know there's the aversion of his team recalling Wrangler players. I know Sutter doesn't call up players who are under 5'11", but good grief, man. Come on. He's leading the AHL team in scoring. I know he's 5'7" and my size, but at what point do you go to the man who's having a great year with the Wranglers right now? At what point do you do? Because the fans want it. Media is calling for it. At what point do you give in? Because you cannot be stubborn to a point and never call the man up when he's delivering in the AHL.
You need a spark.
Guys, I hate to be that guy. It's not happening, bro. It's not happening. I don't have anything against Matthew Phillips. I want to see this dude succeed. He's killing it in the American Hockey League. You could also say Jacques Pelletier or Connor Zary should also be getting called up too. But considering the style of play that the Calgary Flames have, where they need heavy guys, they need big boys, even Dylan Dubé and Blake Coleman and Mangiapane, who are like 5'10", 5'11", like 180.
I forgot Coleman was on the team.
You almost said Black Coleman.
Yeah, I almost said Black Coleman. Yeah. Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. But yeah, I completely forgot that Blake Coleman was on the team.
Blake Coleman is on the Calgary Flames, man. He's like, I think like first or second year in a 6-year deal. He said, but like he is like on the shorter side of things. I mean, and once upon a time, Johnny Gaudreau was there, but he made his presence felt with the scoring ability. Matthew Phillips is gonna have to find a way to not get bounced around at the NHL level. Like, that's what it's going to have to come down to. Dude, it's not so much that he's like 5'7", it's the fact that he's 5'7" and 145 pounds. Like that, like we, I think I, like, I'll say this as someone who does want to see Matthew Phillips get a chance. I think the discourse around Matthew Phillips has surrounded too much about his height and less about how much he weighs and how much he actually like plays around like bigger plays in the AHL. I've seen him get bumped around by bigger guys in the AHL. How's that going to look in the NHL? Like, he has to figure that out in order to make that work. Even guys like Cole Caulfield, who are short, like they're wider dudes. People are making the comparison like, man, they don't want to be in a situation where they give up on the next Martin Saint-Louis. Have you seen Martin Saint-Louis like
thick
thighs? Like
four C's thick, man. I my jaw dropped. What? I was like, holy flip. Okay. Yeah, man. Like, yeah, you have to find a way to make it.
Matty Phillips, bulk up, my guy. Do what you can. Do what you need to do to get your weight up. Anyway, we spent a lot of time in the Calgary Flames, which I'm sure the Flames fans will appreciate. Speaking of Florida, they also happen to be outside of a playoff spot. What's going on there, guys? Sergei Bobrovsky not doing it for you?
Sergei Bobrovsky is the sole reason why a goalie will never make double digits ever again. Like,
cool.
Like, ever. Ever.
Damn.
He makes I have to read this.
If Sergei Bobrovsky was an actual cop on the force, they would have called for his badge and gun a long time ago.
Sergei Bobrovsky makes $10 million this year and the next three.
That's wild.
That is so bad. You want to talk about an unmoved? That right? People complain about like, oh, never mind. It already has a no move clause. Well, like even if it didn't have a no move clause, like that in itself is a no movement clause. Like that's weird, man. That's so.
The only goalie right now who's making double digits and is doing well is Andrei Vasilevskiy, because he's what, at like 10 at least.
No, I think Vasilevskiy's at 9.5, man.
Oh, he's under 10.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's under 10. Let me check that just to be sure.
So that means the only goalies who are doing well, but the only goalies who are making double digits are Sergei Bobrovsky in Florida and Carey Price, who's not playing anymore, but doesn't want his guns taken away.
I can't even talk about what he said today.
Yeah, we don't need to go into Carey Price and the guns. No, let's not even do that.
But yeah,
the Florida Panthers.
They're, man, like it's, I think they had their year and that year was cool. And then Boston said, thanks for holding our spot. And like, cause man, they just scored goals like crazy. Like it was, you want to talk about 80s hockey? Like, weren't we talking about last year how like they had the highest goals per game since like the Avalanche in 96 or something?
Just
disgusting amount of goals. And same thing, they lost two players that contributed to a lot of offense. Huberto freaking set a record for like most assists or whatever, like for a left winger. And yeah, Mackenzie Weegar was great. It was great on both ends. And they just haven't been able to get that. And yeah, and also they're in the Atlantic Division where, you know, the teams are better. So yeah, that sucks.
They have Matthew Tkachuk, though.
Yeah, and they don't have like a first-round pick until they won 2025. Like, man.
Yeah.
That right there. That's why GMs are like, we should go for it this year. Actually, we should probably make, I don't know.
Yeah, Bill Zito said, F them picks.
Oh, my God. That's going to be tough. Like, there's going to be a time where, like, they're going to have, like, no. Holy. Oh, my God. Yeah, there's going to be, like, so this year, they only have a second, a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, which is okay. Then the year after, they don't have a first or a second. So, like, yeah, it's weird. That's going to be tough. But they just don't have the same flair, I guess, and the same finish as last year.
Nah, they just don't. So we mentioned Calgary. We mentioned the Florida Panthers. Any thoughts on Nashville being out? We don't have to spend that long on Nashville if we don't want to. They were kind of hanging by a thread anyway when they were getting in last year and UC Saros was hurt. I regret saying that UC Saros was going to win the Vezina Trophy because he is nowhere near that.
At least you didn't tweet that Jack Campbell was going to.
Could have been worse. Oh, Anthony Stewart. Sorry, buddy. You're gonna get that a lot. I guess that only leaves another team that I want to talk about. Once upon a time on this show, a team of destiny, a team we would consider, wearing the Disney cape and everything, the New York Rangers.
Whoa. I was not part of that.
We think you were not part of that. Why do you think we got that whole bet going with Cuthbert last year?
That's true. Yeah.
If the Rangers were a movie, they'd be High School Musical 2.
Man, that's an insult. That's the worst one, in my opinion. I said what I said. That's the worst.
It is, that's my point. Yeah. It is the worst one.
Yeah. Because, man, they just... Then the Jacob True... Did you see the Athanasiou quote? That's
oh,
so
no,
funny.
I didn't see a quote. What did, oh, my God. What did he say?
So I guess they got into it during their game. And then Athanasiou says, like, I'm paraphrasing. It was just like, he makes $8 million and doesn't have any goals. So I guess he has to find a way to do something on the ice. It's like, oh.
Avery, can you remind the people at home which Caribbean island Andreas Athanasiou is partially from?
Guyanese, man.
Yes, man. Yes. Guyanese. Mm. Yes, shout out Andreas Athanasiou. I was able to get the name right.
Yeah, but like the big thing, man, it has to be Shesterkin, right? I mean, like, mm-hmm. And even he himself has admitted it, but it's they're not getting the same saves that they got last year. They're just not.
No.
And the timely ones too, right? Like I guess their recent loss against Ottawa, right? Like, I think they're up like 2-1 or something. And then you check the game afterwards, they lost like 3-2 in overtime. Like, so like the timely saves, the routine saves, and then the you know, that kind of just hurts the room, especially in a year where they probably were like, hey, we're going for the cup this year.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so now like they're just being hit like on all ends when it comes to their confidence. It's brutal.
Yeah, I picked them to go to the conference final. When we do that episode where we walk back all the stuff that we got wrong, I feel like I'm gonna have a laundry list of stuff.
I was actually just thinking about this earlier when we were talking about the Flames. And then Nashville. I feel like we all got a lot of things really wrong this year.
Oh, yeah. When we get to that episode, we definitely will. Actually, that reminds me, actually. Next weekend, Calgary and Toronto at Scotiabank Arena. Omar, are you coming?
No.
What do you mean no? What are you doing?
Not spending a mortgage payment.
But
I can't.
Don't you have, like, do you not have a press pass?
I guess I can. It depends. I'll have to figure it.
Yo,
I could
you
go.
Have a press pass. I'm going to be there. You have to come.
Okay, I'll see. But yeah, that'd be cool. Man, it's going to Leafs games as part of media is hard sometimes, man, because you can't celebrate. You can't celebrate. Like, you know,
you can't hold it in for three periods?
No. No, man. Last year Michael Bunting had the nastiest play and I had to hold it in. James Myrtle was looking at me. And I was like, I'm holding it in. It was the nastiest pass.
Turn your sleeve. Be like,
I was like, he looked at me. I was like, that was a good play. Good play.
No, I was going to say, somehow, some way, with the two of y'all in Toronto, there's got to be a way to have you two as a part of Zone Time in the Yahoo Sports studios in person next week's show.
Okay. I need to pause the show for a second because our great producer, Kieran Breen, does the Lord's work by recording our shows every day. He found a way to do the Photoshop of Brad True living with the durag, and it is glorious. Oh my God.
Where has this been sent?
So because we're talking about this, I imagine maybe it will show up on video at some point.
Where? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Sorry. I know it's an audio. If you're listening to audio, you have no idea what we're talking about. And if this doesn't somehow show up on video, I'm sorry. But we will. I don't know what to say about this. I don't know what to say about this at all.
Do we have access to this?
Yes. I believe it's in your respective emails.
Oh my God.
Or I don't know. At least I have it in my email and I see it and I'm just, this might be one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Brad is nice man. I can't believe what I'm seeing here. Okay. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I really can. Because
like,
I just stone, feel.
Stone face, just like, Mr. Tree of the Living, I have something to show you.
Like, you know what it is? If this was somebody else who would know what it is, maybe they'd find it funny. I'd have to spend like 5 minutes explaining what a durag is to Brad. Like, I don't know if I want that conversation.
You know what'd be funny? If he goes, yeah, I got two at home.
Don't worry, the glasses.
Oh my God.
Yo, this is so funny.
Yo.
You know,
Yo, this has, oh my god.
Don't have to worry about the show getting canceled for us saying something.
I just got it now. I just got it.
Oh my god, that's so funny. This needs to be.
Yo,
if the Flames like make a big trade, like at the deadline, this and the Yahoo Sports account has to tweet this, like just has to quote tweet it, just like no words. Just that image. Oh my god, that's so funny.
So shout out Kieran Breed for that amazing Photoshop. That was incredible.
That's amazing. Thank you. Oh,
stuff like this is what this show is about. Okay.
Oh my god.
We have to keep the West Indian black vibes going because if there's one man who deserves one good thump, it's Jordan Binnington.
Oh my god.
That man deserves I'm just gonna say it. He deserves, you know what? No, I'm not gonna say it. But that man, if he was brought up right, like for a West Indian person, he would get told off for the way that he acts on the ice. Because there's no reason for him to be acting like an asshole on the ice. And yes, I said it. He acts like an asshole on the ice. And very recently against the Pittsburgh Penguins, he did that against Jason Zucker. And even his head coach, Craig Berube, it said it's got to stop. It doesn't help anything. Just play goal. Stop the puck. Like, even his head coach is going to the media being like, dude, stop acting like a waste man.
Like,
I just think it's funny that he can't do any of those things. He can't stop the antics and he can't stop a puck.
I mean, honestly, not lying, Sam.
Dude, he's been so bad. He's been bad for seasons.
He has been bad for seasons.
Yeah, that is why Craig Berube is talking now. Because when he was winning games, it was fine. It was whatever. But now that they're losing games and he can't make a save and he's doing all these things and he's finally being penalized for stuff, now it's like, oh, okay, yeah, we have to stop it. Like, he's had to stop for the longest time. It's stupid. He's fake punching people. That's what, like, who does that?
I actually can't believe Berube didn't say this needs to stop after he threw a water bottle at Nazem Kadri in the
middle of the press conference. Why are you saying it now? And now your player is throwing water bottles at people.
That is still one of the most unhinged things that has happened in recent years. Like, going to someone else's press conference, throwing a water bottle at them, and missing.
Literally. I mean, yeah! He can't make saves. He can't throw bottles. What can you do, Jordan, beyond be a little brat?
Honestly, yeah. he's acting like an anime character. Like, oh, I walked by and I saw the water bottle. I saw him smiling and I just couldn't let him get away with it. So I threw that bottle, but I missed. Like,
what a coward, too. What a coward.
That was a really good anime character voice, Tic-Tac-Toe, Mark. I think you have a secondary calling as a voice actor.
I've been told. People ask, like, what would my plan B or C, like, Caribbean? I was like, oh, no, voice acting would be cool. I don't think I have like the lung capacity for it. You know, like
use your diaphragm.
I don't know, man. Like, you watch those like behind the scenes videos and people like pass out and stuff. Like Sean
Chamel. Pass out.
Yeah, man. Sean Chamel, the dude who voices Goku in Dragon Ball Z, like he's like passed out like screaming before, which makes sense because Goku's
a that might not be the greatest example considering the amount of screaming Goku does to turn Super Saiyan.
But if you were to do some other show, I'm sure you'd
find a way to make it work.
I did pick a very extreme example. But besides the point, like freaking like Binnington now getting rap from like coaching staff is stupid because he's been doing these idiotic things for the longest time and only now it's a problem. Like, come on, give me a break.
You know what's gonna happen. Like that old graph, like that graph on Twitter said, you F around enough, you will find out. And eventually, Binnington will find out.
I'm surprised.
If you can't hear,
I'm
so
feel. Surprised.
It's going to happen to Jordan Binnington one day.
It will.
It's going to happen. He's going to poke the bear one day, and it is going to work badly against him.
I don't wish ill will towards him.
It's just going to happen.
I'm so surprised no one's done it. Or another goaltender who just said like screw it and just like skated over. But I guess I don't remember the last like goalie fight or even like goalie like we just skate to the opposite of the end of the ends and just like meet in the middle and just like hold each other or whatever. And the last time that happened was actually against the Canucks. There was like a Leaf game against the Canucks where like when it was back when Matt Martin was on the team, and I think Matt Martin was like mixing it up with a rookie, and then who was the goalie? I don't know if it was Demko or if it was Schneider. I can't remember. Like a goalie was like what guy grabbed Matt Martin, and then Frederick Anderson like skated down and then just said like, hey, let's just like stay here. But like, besides that, you don't see like goalie fights. Like I think we need to get rid of that. Like, yes, don't touch the goalie. But if the goalie's freaking going out of their way to like start all this crap, then freaking go for it, man.
You know what though, Omar? I don't think it'll be a goalie fight. I think we'll get a goalie for a skater fight. I think he'll try to fight a skater and get dummied. Mm-hmm. I think he will fight a skater and just get friggin' the band tuned up on his head top.
Man, I times like these, I think of Ray Emery, him going up against Andrew Peters.
Oh,
a quintessential moment of my childhood watching hockey.
Good times.
That was a really interesting time. Mm. As was this entire episode, which we found a way to make us all laugh our asses off again. Good Lord.
Brave on tree living.
Oh, good.
Brave on tree living.
It's gonna be fun when this man wears his gold do-right in a press conference.
No, I think I would implode if I ever saw that.
Oh no, I sometimes get to talk to Brad. Like, yeah, I don't want him to like pop that up. You know,
buy him the do-right for a Christmas present.
Thank you. No, I don't think that's ethical.
Probably not.
Yo, walk into his office. Yo, can you imagine walking into his office playing? He's playing Vibes Cartel.
No.
Yeah, here's your do-rag. Here's your dominoes. Here's your mesh tank top.
Is he a plantain?
No.
Is he a plantain? Stop.
Is your bullet cake? Here's your Easter bun. Some cheese.
he just rolls into a press conference to say Wagwan star.
yes star
heads on. all right we've done enough. Thank you all so much for listening to Zone Time. Where would we all be without you listening or watching this podcast, however you consume podcasts? Thank you, Omar. Thank you, Avery. Thank you, Sam. We'll be back next week. Tune in to figure out which GM we will put a do-rag on next.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.